So, if you'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 6, there are Bibles on the shelves towards the back if you want to go and get one, but it'll all come up on the screen. Yes. Good, down-to-earth, practical stuff, I hope. So you can give me marks out of 10 at the end, okay? That's just reminded me. My wife told me I said okay far too many times last week. She was not counting. But if anyone wants to listen and give me how many times I said okay in my sermon last week, when you download the podcast, that's fine. I'll take it on the chin. Therefore, brothers, if anyone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man and a woman reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So, yes, run the race as a team. Last week it was run the race, but it's not a competition. And we were thinking about how, you know, a race immediately gets you into the idea of it being a competition. You're looking over your shoulder. If you're in front, you're wondering who's going to overtake you. And the Olympics give us lots of opportunity to see that in action, don't we? Doesn't it? But that's not the way God wants it. He wants us to run a race, to run the race with him, take the journey with him, but not to be always looking at each other, comparing with each other. We should be taking our direction from God and not comparing ourselves to each other. Okay, but then there's a problem, isn't there? Because he also wants us all to work together and to get on and do things together and to be church. So it's the most natural thing in the world for us to turn around and look at each other. Okay? So I could come today and say, okay, how many of the men have got beards? Is it okay to have a beard in church? Yeah? It better be, hadn't it, Magnus? Yeah. Okay? That's just a silly thing. But maybe those of us who are slightly older will remember the time when, you know, ladies wore hats to church, and there could be a certain amount of, you know, who's got the best hat? It's natural, at one level. Yes, it's natural. Which nature is it about? And some of that comes out in today's reading. So, run the race as a team. Now, there's one team that must be foremost in all our minds. If we've watched any telly this week, run the race as a team. Next one, please. Is it going to come? Teams. Okay, teams are made of people. And Team GB, let's have a look at Team GB. Okay? There's a good motley crew, isn't it? They had the equal opportunities guru on that one, didn't they? Yeah? So we have every shape and size, those with or without all their limbs. Yes. Team GB, they are representing us in the Olympics. Next one. Okay. And there's not... there's a quite a number of them, aren't there? 400 and... how many? 541 athletes. I knew I wouldn't remember the number. Okay. But is it just them? No. They're backed up and have been backed up over the last years, preparing by the British Olympic Association and 33 governing bodies. So if you really are a committee person, oh, there's plenty of opportunity for you to be part of Team GB, isn't there? Yeah? Okay. Think of all those clubs that are going day in, day out, week in, week out, running those training sessions. Yeah? It's not just the athletes, it's the people who provide the infrastructure. And then we've got LOCOG. Because at Team GB, it's not really just about how we perform in the competitions, isn't it? I don't know if you felt, but it's almost like we're all under the microscope. And it's been wonderful, I think, and okay, the BBC will have selected the quotes, I'm sure, but to hear people say, you know, it's been really great because they've been cheering for all of us. Yeah? Okay, yes, it's deafening when there's a British athlete, but, you know, if an Australian does well, they get cheered too. But LOCOG and all the work to make London 2012 happen, 6,000 paid staff and 70,000 volunteers. Okay? That's a lot of people. Do you know someone who's in Team GB? It's likely that you do. Yeah? So, that's the team that we've been experiencing their work, their effort, over the last two and a half weeks. And it's not over, because we've got the Paralympics coming. So we've got to do all this again in about 3.5 weeks, haven't we? Are you up for that? Can you cope? Okay, so that's the team. What else do teams have? They're made of... next one, please. They're made of people. The thing about a team is it has a goal, an aim. Okay? And here's what the aim is of the British Olympic Association. To transform British lives through the power of the Olympic values and the success of Team GB. Okay? So, British Olympic Association wants to change your life. Yeah, wants to transform you. And if they get David Cameron to spend some more money on sports, then at least in England that might happen. The Welsh Assembly government, or Welsh government, will be deciding what to do here, I suppose. But they have an aim or goal. They want to transform us. Okay. Okay, next one, please. And the third thing about teams is they work together to achieve. Okay? And there are things that happen in teams, and I'm sure if you're in a work situation or a church situation, there's something needs to get done, you'll know full well nothing happens without a bit of cooperation, does it? Yeah? There needs to be accountability. Some sense of, you know, who am I doing this for? Who, once I've done it, who do I tell? Who do I check whether it's okay to do something? Yeah? And there needs to be leadership. Okay, so it's been great today, because when I've asked you to stand, you've stood up. That's good. There needs to be leadership. So, within those thoughts, how do I then... ah, yes, I've got something. Next one. Teams. You recognise this man? Yes? Mr. Giggs? Okay. There he is, smiling. Now, one of the things about teams, they're made up of people. So, Mr. Giggs got in, but a certain other gentleman didn't, did he? So teams, certainly in the teams we experience in our lives often, there's a selection, isn't there? You're in or you're out. Okay, but here, and teams, things can go well. He seems happy there. Next one. Yes, clapping. Communicating with the rest of his team, giving off the signals that, yes, things are going well. Next one. Oh, yes, we all need to do training. Next one. And sometimes, ouch, that would hurt me. Next one. But teams, it's not always going to go well, is it? Sometimes we need to think, reflect. Okay, next one. Sometimes there's going to be confrontation. Sometimes it's going to be maybe a bit messy. Next one. And sometimes we wonder, what on earth is going on? Okay. So, teams. Last one for that. Yeah. Okay. We're out. We didn't quite make it. So, the question. Next slide. Is Penrith a team? Are we? Penrith being this congregation. And I think if you're a visitor, then think about your own congregation back home. Are we made of people? Do we have an aim or goal? Do we work together to achieve? Three questions. Okay. So, next one, please. These three questions sort of come under three headings, which I find really, really useful when thinking about where we fit in to what's going on and where we are on our journey of being part of the team. Okay? So we can think about being part of a team or being part of Penrith as belonging. Okay? You've come here this morning. There's a sense of our togetherness, our belonging. Sometimes this can be just really quite formal in some churches. Yeah? It's about membership, isn't it? But belonging is far more than just being a member, being a card carrier. It's about interacting, isn't it? There's a social belonging. Now, for some people coming into Penrith, that's the real thing that they want. Yeah? That's the thing that they've been motivated by. And many people today, as opposed to maybe 30 or 40 years ago, the reason they come to church is because they want to belong. They find in a church somewhere where people treat them with respect, with love, and they can be here. And that's great. Okay. So belonging. Believing. What's our aim? Why do we do things the way we do them? Here at Penrith, I think basically, I can put it down to, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And what we want to see happen here and all over God's world is people become followers of Jesus. And for us to become better followers of Jesus. That's our aim, our believing. And sometimes in a church, that can be, in some churches, that is the most important thing. Do you believe the right thing? I think you'll find in Penrith, there are some core fundamentals, some things that are not negotiable. But we are a very motley crew, a very mixed bag. And then the last one, and this one, this is a B we don't like, isn't it? Behaving. I'm not about to come over all schoolmasterish, but our behaviour. How do we behave as part of Penrith? What are the unspoken rules about how we do things? Who says what goes and what doesn't? Is it okay to go and just, hand out some leaflets in my local housing estate? Or do I need the permission of the elders? Basically, you don't need our permission to go and spread God's word. Please, just do it. But you could be exposing yourself to vulnerability. Tell us so we can pray. Tell us so we can support you. Yeah? The accountability comes in. So we work as a team, not as a herd of cats. You know, there is no such thing as a herd of cats, is there? They all go off and do their own thing. Right. So these three things, belonging, believing, behaving. And quite often you will find in a church that there's someone who comes in because they want to belong, and their behavior may not be all that you would want to see. And we accept people as they come, because that's what Jesus did. Accepted people as they come. And then work with them. So I think I'd say to those of you of Penrod, and I would hope for those of you who are visiting back in your own churches, work with people. Don't judge them. And that's where we come right into where we're looking at now. So Galatians 6, 1-2. These first two verses are very much about what do we do with others. Yeah? Okay, you're in a church. What do we do with the other people? Okay, so the first one. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Okay, it's all in the male, but I think it extends to the ladies as well, please. So, you're caught in a sin. What's he talking about? Well, the particular word for sin he uses here is a sin that is about wandering from the path. And it talks about being caught in that sin. You've been caught out, almost. And we all do it, don't we? We make foolish decisions. We get it wrong sometimes. We say a cross word. We get het up about a situation. These things will happen. Will happen. It's not a case of if they happen, it's when they happen. Yeah? So what are we going to do? When these things happen, we should seek to restore people. Not judge them. Not go back and give crossword for crossword. Not withdraw from the situation to a nice safe cubbyhole. Yeah? We should seek to restore people. But it's difficult. Sometimes that makes you vulnerable. It means that you might get misunderstood yourself. Someone might think that you still talking to someone means that it's okay to behave that way. You might be putting yourself at risk of entering into the same sin that the person you're trying to help is involved in. So, be careful. Pray. Don't go it alone. Talk to others. Get their prayer support, and together be praying for that individual. What Paul is saying here, he says restore the person. He doesn't say, it doesn't seem to be talking about a disciplinary area. Paul's got plenty of stuff to say elsewhere about church discipline. But this is about restoring. And the word is used about setting a bone back. Yeah, that's the context of the word. To restore someone. To reset a bone. Something that's broke and you're mending it. Okay? Well, if you're resetting a bone, you're going to need something like a cast or a splint. It's going to need some support, isn't it? It's going to have to be done gently. You can't just do it. And there's going to be a time for recovery. It's not something that happens overnight. So, if you see a brother or sister caught in sin, seek to restore them. not judge, not withdraw to your safe cubbyhole, seek to restore them. Your brother or sister has a burden. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Anyone got an idea? Sorry? Love one another. Yes. Okay? Carry one another's burdens. Okay? So there's a sense in which the burdens we talked about this morning, I think this is a different sense of the word burdens. It's a heavy load. It's something which you are really going to find difficult to carry. We have a number of people in the church who are carers. That can be a real burden. And what a blessing it is if someone comes and helps to carry it. We've had situations where, because of the church's people, not the church as an organisation, but the people of Penrout have stepped in the gap. They've been there, stopping children becoming looked after children within the care system. Being there for those who are in the care system. Yeah? These things are important to do. As you see needs around you in the congregation, do something. Offer to help. Now, I know sometimes we've heard that Phil McKenna is in hospital this morning, which hence Joan's prayer. He went into hospital this morning, so we're praying for Phil and Eileen. Peter, our minister, when he came here, he said, as soon as someone was in hospital, it was a race to get there first. Because he'd never make it there first. Someone else would always get there. And that was good. And we've had other situations where, as Penrout, we've had to organise that support so that we don't inundate the person who we're hoping to support. Because actually having 10 people offering you to help you can be stressful. Yeah? But, brother, sister, let me bear your burden. Okay. And this is all within, it's a servant lifestyle, a mutual dependence. If we were all under 24, I'd have you in a big circle sitting on each other's knees. Right? And then you get something of the idea, what is going to happen, sooner or later? What's going to happen if you do that? Have you seen people do it, or tried to do it yourself? The team building exercise, which is, you all go in a circle, face the person next to you like you're in a conga, and then you all sit down. And so someone else's bottom is there and you're on someone else's knees. And eventually, someone overbalances, doesn't they? And it all falls apart. But we can pick ourselves up. We have this mutual dependence while we're here in the church. Next one, please. Okay. The next thing, having talked about how we work with each other, let's now think about Galatians 6:3-5, about you yourself. Okay, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Okay. For those of you, if you want to go and read Romans 12, Romans 12 has a passage very, very similar to this. It's a parallel passage and helps you to think. There, it's not thinking so much about the team as we're thinking today, but has the analogy of the body. But if we're carrying one another's burdens, what is it, this load bit? Each one should carry his own load. So what's the load I've got to carry myself? Well, first thing, there is a sense in which part of your load is having this realistic view of yourself. Do not think of yourself more highly than you should. Or, conversely, You've got a gift. You should be seeking to use it. Yeah? Parable of the talents. Don't hide it. It should be used. So part of the load is that. The word load here is different from the word burden earlier. So there isn't a direct parallel. What the word that's used of load here was also used of a soldier's pack. You know, what a soldier needed to do things in their daily life of being a soldier. It's got everything in it. And you are expected. I mean, you don't expect one soldier to carry everybody's packs, do you? Each soldier must carry their own pack. That way, they move as a unit. Now, there isn't one being exhausted without everybody else pulling their weight. There's a sense of our individual responsibility. I think some of the basics of our individual responsibility are about our relationship with God. In a church context, that is the thing that you are responsible for. And I think you should be thinking about how we, as Penrhyn, we had this series on the spiritual disciplines. Okay, it took about the best part of 3 months to get through them in sermons. If you missed one, go back, check them all out. Yeah? They're all on the website. Think about our personal work, walk with God. I think, too, there is this idea, and this is a tricky one, is how individual are we in our lives? Okay? I and my family, I go out to work, and I pay, or my wife and I, through our joint bank account, pay for the things that keep us alive. A house, food, paying the insurance, a car, paying for kids' clothes. Yeah? Okay, those things, I feel that sense of responsibility. Other communities of Christians put everything in a pot and you share everything. You can go and live a commune-like lifestyle as a Christian. Or you can join a community like the monks and nuns. There isn't one size fits all. But there is a sense of if you are in one situation, like the church here, that primarily looking after your own family, we in our current culture see that as your job. Yeah? And we need to be adult and grown up about that. But it can also be a burden. It can also be something which is too great for us and something where we need help. And that's a difficult one, isn't it? Because our culture says we should be independent, but we know we can ask for help. And there's some difficulties in there. I think you should, as far as is possible, be looking after your own situation. But have an eye for the others. In the practicalities, we've talked about, I mentioned the food bank earlier. 30 or so families were receiving food parcels a couple months ago from the Cathedral Food Bank in Bangor. That's a food parcel for a family for a week. That's 30 families in Bangor who need free food handouts because they haven't got the money to go to the shop. I think it's going to get worse, not better. Okay. Next one. And this is going to be very, very quick. Share all good things with your instructor. Okay, well, today I'm your instructor. Share all good things with me. Can we move on, please? It is the practical stuff. Your minister, those who serve you in your church. Support them. Pray for them. Next one, please. Okay, and then there's this paragraph about sowing and reaping. And it applies to all of us. And the context here, if you go quickly back, well, don't have time to go back, but the paragraphs before in Galatians were talking about the fruits of the sinful nature and the fruits of the Spirit. And really telling you, well, yeah, if you indulge the fruit your sinful nature, you're going to end up like that. And if you indulge the fruit your spiritual nature, you're going to end up with these fruits. You make the decision, okay? And we've had some very practical advice about how we can work in a church, how we can live together in a church, be church. But don't be deceived. We cannot get around God. He sees everything. And it's He who will judge in the end. And then the last one. Cause and effect. For all. Galatians 6:10. Okay. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Okay. So out there in your work, in your play, at the school gate, in the clubs you belong to, do good to all as you have opportunity. Be known as the generous one. Be known as the one who, if someone confides in you, it's not going to go around everybody. And you'll be a gentle listening ear. Do good to all people. And that also means maybe doing good to those who are excluded. Yeah? We were reminiscing about a time when Anne was living in Hong Kong. And she was working for a publishing company. And she ended up losing her job there as an editor. Part of it was just someone with a better, more qualifications came along. But part of it too was she went to a church which was made up of the Filipina maids of the other people who she worked alongside. She spoke to the Chinese people in the print room with the same attitude as the people, the Westerners. Yeah? Do good to all. Not just within the socially acceptable boundaries that our culture gives us.